Well, it's good to be here today. Brethren, the great God of this universe has given you and me great opportunities to become in His family, to become Elohim. And with this opportunity, there comes choices that have to be made. And as God said a long, long time ago to ancient Israel, choose life or choose death. And that's actually what it is for you and me. But we have the ability by what God has made possible for you and me at this time to choose. Choose life, eternal life, in the God family. That's the opportunity that God has given to you and me at this time. So this will be your subject today, choices. God has given you and me His Holy Spirit so that we can think differently. And now we have the ability to make right choices in our life about how we will live our lives. God is creating peace for mankind, as we know. And as it is said in God's book, that we are like pilgrims upon this earth. And we are waiting to enter the promises of God to have eternal life forever, with peace forever, finally. If you want peace, this is the way. In the book of Romans, Paul tells us that man does not know the way to peace, but we do through what God has revealed to you and me. And Paul tells us that man at this time has no fear of God. He was talking to the Romans in this day that we're referencing, but we understand that this will apply to you and me just as well as it did them. But as we heard last week in the sermon, we are to become righteous. That's what we are to do. And if you want to become righteous, this is the way of life that we have to live. And it begins with the Passover, and then when the days of unleavened bread, that teaches you and me about sin and how to deal with sin. And we learn that we are to strive to always keep sin out of our lives. Paul also told us in the book of Romans not to let sin rule our lives, not to let it overtake us and take us out of God's church. We are told not to let the lust of man control our lives, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You and me are told to reflect on sin at this season that we are entering this year. And those of us in the ministry ought to speak about these things, meet in due season. So when we look back at what ancient Israel did, all those examples that are there for you and me, those at the end of an age, we understand why they could not obey God's laws. We understand that God's Spirit is needed for man to be able to obey the great God of this universe. And we understand that a Passover was needed for mankind. So God has given you and me a roadmap, so to speak, about how we live our lives. And this roadmap begins with Passover, the season that we are entering. And God paints us a picture of His holy days at this season of the year. And this season is about how we are to live our lives. We are told to walk worthy of our calling. And we understand what this is saying, to walk worthy of our calling. This season is about sin and keeping sin out of our lives, as I said. So God gave you and me a roadmap. But staying on the correct road all the time is nearly impossible, as we know. So God gave us the Passover to make a way for those that He would call to finally get to our destination, that eternal life that He has offered to each and every one of us with peace forever. So this season that we are approaching paints us a picture of how we are to get to that destination. That's where it begins. The destination is for peace for man, finally. That's the final destination. But it begins with Passover this season. To have peace, a certain way of life for man has to take place. God shows us through the Passover season and the unleavened bread that we partake of during that time. And it teaches us that something has to take place in our lives So God gives understanding to those that He has called about how to live their lives. Sin has to be dealt with. And that is why Joshua Christ died, because of sin. We hear the politicians talk sometimes about peace, and we know that they do not have a clue about what real peace is. But you and me, God has given us that understanding, and that is our final destination, to have peace. But we know that the only real way for peace to exist is if a certain way of life is chosen, God's way of life. And it's about those choices that we make for you and me at this time. We have that choice to either have life or we can have death. God has laid that choice before you and me. Those of us that He has called and given His Holy Spirit to. And once we are called and God gives that Spirit to us, we do experience a certain peace. And it takes place in the mind. That's where it takes place, that peace. And we begin to understand that only God's way, God's laws, can produce a way of life for man that will eventually bring about real peace. We begin to understand once we're called that this is the only way that true peace can come about, God's way. So God tells us in His book about our human nature that we have. And that nature does not want to listen to anything about God. Our human nature is naturally hostile to the great God of this universe. And our nature, as we know, is to do something different because of those lusts that are in man. But God instructs you and me in this book that we have to overcome self. Man's nature, as we know, is the pulls of this flesh. That's the way we were made. And we have to deal with the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life until we are changed. We will always have to deal with those lusts that are there in man, those pulls that man has. God's servant wrote many, many years ago in the book of Proverbs that there is a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is death. And so we understand what this is saying for you and me. We can look around at what this world is and see that man's ways will end in the destruction of all life if God did not have this plan that we are talking about today. God's plan begins with the Passover and unleavened bread, as I said earlier. And the world has no knowledge of this plan and its real meaning. And it is caused in part because of a being that rebelled a long time ago. And the book of Corinthians tells us about this being. It tells us that He has blinded man at this time, except for those that have been enlightened. This book tells us who He is. It tells us about this being. And we come to understand because of what is written in God's book that He is the God of this age at this time. We understand, except for those that God has called and given understanding, that there would be no flesh left alive if this being could do what He wanted to do to man. God had it written in this book about the world that He has created, this being, the whole world that is blinded at this time. But like I say, He gives you and me understanding of what is taking place and what has taken place in the past and what this being actually did against the great God of this universe. So He gives you and me instructions. He gives us a roadmap, so to speak, about how those that He will call are to live their lives. And I'll just quote what Isaiah said, God's ear isn't hidden that it can't hear. But it's our sins. It's because of our sins that God will not hear us. Unrepented sin. That's what's being spoken about. Isaiah understood that God would not dwell with sin. And unrepented sin will keep us cut off from our God. That's what it will do if one does not repent of sin. And it will take you away from God and His Son. Paul wrote in the book of Romans, and this applies to you and me, was not meant just for them only. And he said not to be conformed to this world, the world that has been created by this being. And we can look around and understand the influences that are in this world that we see. We can see that man does not have a clue about who God is and who his real son is. We can see that this whole world is deceived at this time. So Paul wrote that you and me are not to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That's what we are to do, and that's the way Paul wrote it in God's book. So we understand that in order for the renewing of our mind to take place, something has to take place. Joshua Christ said that no man could come unless God the Father draw them. And when God calls someone, there is a process that takes place. Just like what Mr. Wyman was speaking of at the beginning. It is a process. Even the Passover is a process, the same process year by year. So there is a process, there is a roadmap that everyone that God calls has to go through. Once someone is called, that person must be humbled. And then choices have to be made in their lives. We understand it only when someone is humble can they listen to the great God of this universe. They would not be willing to listen otherwise. So you and me, we understand that process of being humbled. God had it written in his book that many are called, few are chosen. And we are witnesses of this very thing. My wife and I and the Winelands I know have seen so many come through the doors of God's church. Many have come through that door just in our time in PKG. And you are witnesses to that very thing about what someone can do after God has given their Holy Spirit to them. You are witnesses of that very thing. Not even speaking about the past of being in the Worldwide Church of God. But I know some of us in this room have experienced that. And we have lost many, many friends. And I can see Russ nodding his head. Lost many friends. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we understand that it is God's Holy Spirit that makes his words come alive, so that understanding can take place in the mind. And it's just as the Apostle Paul said, it is about the mind. And Paul wrote, for what man knows the things of a man? That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. And he wrote, for what man knows the things of a man, except the spirit of man which is in him? This is talking about the spirit that is in man. And we understand what this spirit is, that human spirit. Even so, let's notice what else he wrote. No one knows the things of God except the Spirit from God or of God. So this is talking about the Holy Spirit that God gives to those that he calls. We understand what Paul wrote about, and we have the Spirit that is from God, the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit gives you and me understanding. And that Spirit was given to you by the great God of this universe. And I don't think we reflect on that as we should, where that Spirit actually comes from, and what a gift that was to you. God reveals understanding to his church through that Spirit, through that Holy Spirit. It's how you have understanding. So what Paul is actually saying is that the truths of God cannot be known unless God gives his Holy Spirit to a human being. And you and me are witness of that very thing, of what some can do after receiving God's Spirit. So when we look around at all the earth, and unless your mind is opened up to the truths of God, they are just foolishness to the world. That's what God says about man at this time. His ways are foolishness. And we can understand that, and we can see, because we know where this world is heading. If God did not have this plan. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll begin in verse 1. And he said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if." And there is always that if. And so many have not held fast to God's word. God says, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, let's notice, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So we can see that it was written why Joshua Christ had to die, and it was because of our sins. That's why He had to spill His blood to the ground. Verse 5. He was seen by Cephas and then by the 12. After that, he was less noticed. He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to this day, to that present time. But some have fallen asleep. We know that he was speaking to them at that day. After that, he was seen by James and then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. And we understand how Paul was called, how he was struck down. And we understand that Christ appeared to all of them after he had died, all of the apostles, all of those 500 brethren. Verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first, better say the beginning, of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ will all be made alive. So this is telling about the process that has to take place. And it says in verse 23, each one in his own order. And there is an order. We understand about the first resurrection, and we understand about the great white throne that will take place. So we understand the order of things, those resurrections that God says will take place. And that's what it's teaching us about, the process. And afterward, those who are Christ at His coming, we understand this is speaking about the 144,000 that will return with Christ when He returns back to this earth. We understand that Joshua Christ became the Passover, that the Lamb pictured down through time, the Lamb that was sacrificed. We know that He died upon that pole, a horrible, horrible death. It was a painful death. But we understand why He had to go through that process. Now the payment for our sins has been made. A way possible for you and me was made. Passover made it possible for the forgiveness of all of our sins. And we understand that it will eventually be for all that want what God will offer them. To become in the God family, to become Elohim. God plans, tells you and me how we are to live our lives. We are to live a way that God has set forth for you and me. And it is a certain way of life. And it's, as Paul said in the book, put on the new man in sincerity and truth. We are to strive to always keep sin out of our lives. And it is a battle for our mind that ensues when once one is called by the great God of this universe. And we begin to understand that we are in a war. And it's a battle for the mind that takes place. And just as in ancient Israel, Pharaoh came after the children of Israel, we use that example. We use the example of Pharaoh as Satan coming after the physical children of Israel. We also use it about once we are called and have God's Spirit, of how Satan is after you and me. So we find ourselves in a battle for our spiritual lives once this process takes place. Because of this being, and because of something else, the nature that is in man. Those lusts that we spoke about earlier, those lusts of mankind. God teaches you and me about a way of life. And if we live that way that God says we are to live, then one can be harvested, so to speak, from God's garden. God uses gardening principles to explain to you and me the process. So we can be harvested from that garden, and then we can be resurrected to have eternal life in the God family. One can become Elohim. Paul made a statement about redeeming the times because the days are evil. He told this to the Romans. And to do this, he said, it is high time to awake out of sleep. It's what he was telling them. And he was telling them for their salvation was nearer than when we first believed. And it applies to you and me too, those at the end of an age. We are to reflect and understand the times that you and me live in. And we can look around and see that the days are evil. Paul could see it in his day. We can see it in our days. And it's just as Paul said to them, it's not a time to become sleepy in God's church. It's the time to stay fully awake. These verses are telling us to redeem the time because life is short. That's what it's speaking about. We are not promised tomorrow. And poof, you could be gone. Just that quick. It's likened to a puff of smoke in God's book. So you and me should reflect on redeeming the time that we have left upon this earth. And understand what Paul is actually saying. That it is time for you and me to stay fully awake for where we are in time. And we will look at what David wrote about life. So let's turn over to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 39. And we'll begin in verse 4, and we'll see what David wrote. And he wrote about life. Psalms 39 and verse 4. And David wrote, Lord, make me to know my end. And God has given you and me that understanding. David also wrote, what is the measure of my days? So David is writing about the days allotted to man. Same as what Paul was addressing about the time being short. And David wrote, that I may know how frail I am. And I hope everyone understands this, how frail this flesh is. We may not be here tomorrow. David wrote, you have made my days as handbreadths and my age as nothing before you. Certainly every man, let's notice, it is best. It is best state is just vapor. That's the way David wrote in God's book about man. Poof, and you could be gone in an instant. David wrote that every man in his best state is just vapor. That's the way it's likened to, like a puff of smoke. Salah means to think about it. It means to think about what David wrote about life. We are here for a short while and we are gone. David tells us what he observed about man and what man's focus in this life is about. And he said, surely every man walks about like a shadow. They busy themselves in vain. And they do. We can look around in this world and we can see where man's focus is. We know that man tries to heap up riches to himself. We know that man may not know who will gather that after he's gone. Because that is a vain thing to do while you're upon this earth. Because there may be no more tomorrow for them. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? That's the question that David asked. And you and me wait for the same thing that David did. David looked forward to the resurrection. David said that his hope was in God. And he asked God, verse 8, to deliver him from all of his transgressions. In other words, to deliver him from sin. It's what David was speaking about. And he said, do not make me the reproach of the foolish. David said he was mute because he did not open his mouth. Because David understood it, who it was that gave him that understanding. David understood that it was God that would deliver him at the end. I hope we understand just how short life is upon this earth. I hope you do the count that David spoke about in God's book. I hope you do measure your days and measure your life every day and understand just how short this life is and what real life is really about. God says we are to reflect on those things, and we should always reflect every day to keep sin out of our lives and not be caught with unrepented sin. Could you imagine what it would be like to die with unrepented sin? Salah, think about it. Let's turn over to Psalms chapter 90 in verse 12 over a few pages. And let's notice what else was written. And David's telling us, asking God to teach us to number our days again. And we always look at how we are living our lives every day, that we may gain a heart. Let's notice. Speaking about our inner being. Speaking about our mind. That we may gain a heart, a mind of wisdom. And we understand how we gain wisdom. Through God and His church. That's how we do it. Through our learning on the Sabbaths. Through our learning of the holy days that we are approaching. And we gain wisdom through what God teaches you and me. And He teaches you and me about a plan that He has. He teaches us how we are to live our lives before Him. And Passover season teaches us about sin. Verse 13, David asked, return, O Lord. And then he said, how long? That's the question that David asked. And it's just like so many that have gone before you and me have asked, how long? David said, have compassion on your servant. And God has had compassion on you and me, just as He did on David, by what He has revealed to you. He has revealed His plan to you, His whole plan for mankind. He's revealed to you how He will bring peace to man. You have that understanding. But with that understanding comes choices. Choices that you have to make. To live the way that God has set forth before you. And these days that we are approaching teach us about how we are to live before our God. Back up in verse 12, David wrote, teach us to number our days. For you and me to remember just how short that life can be. And to keep sin out of our short lifespan upon this earth. And it is short in God's sight, brother. We are to reflect upon our lives at this time of year. And we are to evaluate our lives. So at this season of the year, this is what we do, year by year. We reflect upon our lives and how we are living our lives before our Creator. And God reminds us every year, because man's memory is short. So man has to be remembered. His mind has to be reminded every year of a certain way of life that we are to live our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's look at how the apostles describe God's church. And they described it as a temple. And we are described as living stones that are being built up a spiritual house. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. And here God uses gardening principles. You are God's husbandry. In other words, you are like a garden. And He likens you to a building. And it's like building a building that is being built. It's like a garden that is being tended. A garden that is growing. So that's the analogies that God uses in His book. And we understand that God is building His spiritual creation, His family. Verse 10. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. Let's notice the admonition. Let every man and every woman take heed how they are building upon that foundation. We are to build upon this foundation that has been laid before us. And it's like the road map that we were talking about earlier. All we have to do is follow the path, follow the road. And it's laid out right before us. We have all the directions that we need. All we have to do is ride on the road, not ride in the ditches, so to speak. We have to keep sin out of our lives because that stops the building process. That stops the growing. And it says, for no other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Joshua Christ. The roadmap is already there. And no one can change that roadmap. No one. And it says, let's notice, if any man builds upon this foundation, and the first part uses precious stones, precious metals, to show their importance. Because gold, silver, those precious stones are valuable. And you need to use good material to build upon that foundation that Paul was talking about. We understand that the last three, wood, hay, and stubble, will be burned quickly in a fire. That work can be burned, and you will suffer loss. But the precious metals will survive the fire. So God uses different materials described that you can use to build upon what you have been given. And it is a process. And the last three, I hope you don't choose those last three that can be burned so quickly. So we are told what this is saying, to be aware of how we are living our lives and what we are building upon, and to use valuable materials to do that very thing. Let's notice what was written in verse 16. Know you not that you are the temple of God? So how valuable is that to you? What is that value worth? Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile, let's notice what happens. If anyone defiles the temple of God, him God will destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. No one with sin will be allowed to live. And we know about that lake of fire at the end of the age. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool. It's what God said, that he may become wise. Choices. Choices. Choose the right path. Stay on the road. But if you wander off the road, you are deceiving yourself. There's no other way. This is the only way to get to that destination that God has laid out before you and me. And it says, let no one deceive themselves. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. So we can see what God thinks about the wisdom of this world. It's just foolishness. The wisdom comes from God, as we know. And it's wise if we follow that roadmap that has been laid out before us. And if we do, that will bring us wisdom from the great God of this universe. When we follow that map, when we follow that road, God gives us true wisdom about what is right and what is wrong. And it's written, He takes the wise in their own craftiness. The Lord knows the thoughts of the wise. And let's notice what God says. They are vain. In other words, they are useless. And this is speaking about the wise of this world. God says all is in vain. So God tells you and me that the wisdom of man in this age is just a vain thing in His sight. That's what it is. Therefore, let no man glory in men. So what does mankind do? All the glamorous things that man sees with the eyes, those lusts that are there in man. And what they see, the movie stars, the famous singers, God says all of that is vanity before Him. We are not to partake of those things. We're not to be caught up in those lusts, because that's actually what it is, a lust. A lust of man. And we are not to be caught up idolizing these kind of individuals. Let's notice, for all things are yours. Whether Paul, Apollos, Cephas, or the world, life, death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's. Gives us the order of things and what is important in our lives. Everything belongs to God. All of it, brethren. And at baptism, you gave your life to the great God of this universe. That's what you said at baptism. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And verse 20. We all gave our lives to God. And Paul tells us that we are to be fellow citizens with the saints, with the household of God, and are being built. Better said, here's those building process again. Built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Talking about the roadmap. That's the roadmap that you and me are to use. Joshua Christ, let's notice, himself is being the chief cornerstone. He leads the way. Everything is built upon that cornerstone, all of it, in whom all the building tells us how it will be done, paints us a picture, and how all the building will be fitly framed together, and it will grow into a holy temple in the Lord, whom you also are being built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit, through that Holy Spirit that gives you understanding. And we understand that it is a spiritual creation through God's Holy Spirit. That's how it's being built. God is building His spiritual creation, and this spiritual creation begins with Passover. That's where it starts, with Joshua Christ, our Passover. And He died so that we could have the forgiveness of sins. And then He gave us the days of unleavened bread that teaches you and me to strive to always keep sin out of our lives and to keep it out. God tells us to look at how we are living our lives. And He uses those examples that we just read about. Those precious stones to build with. The gardening principles that He uses in this book. And He tells us to choose life. Make that choice so that we can be in His family. And we do that by keeping sin out of our lives so that we can become Elohim. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and let's notice verse 4. This is written, and God uses the examples of light and darkness in this book. And it says that we are not in darkness, those that He has called. And that's very true, because we understand the words of our God. And we have been given understanding. Understanding about the plan, the roadmap that He has had from the very beginning for man. And God tells us here in this book that we are not in darkness, so that this day, this time, should overtake us as a thief. And He tells us, you are all sons and daughters of the light of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness, because you have understanding that came from God. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. Notice the admonition. Let us watch and be sober. So God is telling you and me to be watchful and sober, so we can choose God's way of life, so that we can make the right choices. And when we do this, when we watch, we are sobered by the things we see taking place, especially when we look around at Satan's world, that world that has been built. It's a sobering event that is taking place. A crescendo is coming, as you and me know, for that age, for that world. God tells us, even though it's looking like looking through a dark glass, that you and me have understanding of what is in our future. We know about all those nuclear weapons that are upon this earth. We know about other mass weapons of destruction that are upon this earth. And they are here now, just waiting to be used. We see that. We understand that. We see that all the pieces are actually in place for that destruction to take place. Just waiting for someone to push the button. That's where we are in time, watching. And as I said before, you have a front row seat to see all these awesome things that will take place in your future. God tells us that we are to be sobered by what we see. And we are to understand about what is to take place upon this earth. We know that there is much terror in our future as Satan's age comes to a close. Let's look at verse 8. God says to you and me, who are of the day, to be sober. And we are to be putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint you and me to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Joshua Christ, who died for you and me. Let's notice that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. So you don't want to die with unrepented sin. Would be a horrible, horrible thing to die with sin. And this says, does not matter whether you live or die. What matters is if you are like Abraham, where God would know you, would know what you would do in every situation. And in verse 19, we understand that God says His church will be clean. God tells you and me not to quench His Spirit. And that is something that you would definitely not want to do. You would not want to quench that Spirit that God has given you. But we have seen so many do this very thing with actually no fear of the great God of this universe. We've seen so many rebel. And we know this is what they did. They rebelled. They quenched that Spirit. It's a horrible thing that they do when they do this very thing. But we have experienced this rebellion over and over in God's church. Many that has come through those doors. We understand that they failed to count the cost of doing that very thing. We know that it is actually rebellion against the great God and His Son. And we watched how they forgot where they learned the truths of God. We watched while they forgot through whom they learned those truths. They did not heed what we just read, to stay sober and be watchful. Verse 22 tells you and me to abstain from every form of evil. Sin is evil. It's sin to rebel against God. Let's notice what's said next and how it is said. It tells us about God. And it says, now may the God of peace, that's who He is, and that's what He's bringing about. And we know He and understand He is leading us where peace will be here for an eternity, brethren. And it said, may the God of peace Himself sanctify, set you aside. That's what it's saying, completely. Set you aside completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Joshua Christ. It would be a horrible thing to die with unrepented sin. Christ paid the price for you and me. And we understand that our sins are forgiven. But that does not mean that you and I can live in sin. We understand that God is not playing games at the end of this age. So God tells you and me to be watchful and to be sober. In other words, stay on the road. Follow the map that has been set before you. Let's go back to the Psalms. Psalms chapter 27. And let's see something else that David wrote. Psalms 27, and we'll begin in verse 4. We understand that we are to fight the fight that is set before us. And we are, when we find ourselves in sin, we repent quickly. That's what we do. Psalms 24 and verse 4. David tells us about his desire, and he expresses it very well here. One thing I have desired of the Eternal, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Eternal all the days of his life, to behold the beauty of the Eternal. And let's notice what else. And to inquire in his temple. And that says a lot, because we understand that it's about those that will dwell in the house of their God. In the temple. God's temple. And it's what David's desire was, to dwell in God's house. It's what he sought after all of his life. Verse 5, let's notice what was written. For in the time of trouble he will hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he will hide me. And you would definitely want God to hide you in his pavilion with what we are facing in the near future. You would want to be close to your God as this age comes to a close, as this world comes to an end. We understand the demon world will be allowed to do some horrible things at the end. Verse 7, Hear, O Eternal, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me and answer me. When you said, Seek my face, a choice has to be made. My heart, in other words, David's inner being, said to you, Your face eternal I will seek. So we can see David's choice. We can see the choice that he made before his God. And David said, Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. So we do not want God to hide his face from us. We understand that God's church has to be clean. So right choices will have to be made for those that will be there at the end. David said, You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. And let's notice verse 13. I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Eternal in the land of the living. Those that will have eternal life. Those that will be alive forever after that lake of fire takes place. And David wrote, Wait on the Eternal. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart, your inner being, your mind. And he said, Wait on the Eternal. So this is good advice from David, who was a man after God's own heart. And it's what you and me are doing. We are waiting for our God to make his next move to deliver his people. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and let's look at verse 22. And sometimes we don't talk in. We don't stop and reflect what is really being said. And we can just read through these scriptures without reflecting on what it's speaking about. And it says, You have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God. That's what God says, that we have come to that city of the living God. That's who we come before. To the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. So I hope we comprehend what we have been offered to be able to do that very thing, to come before our God. And whether you are in that first harvest or in a later harvest, just to see the things that will take place would be a wonderful blessing. Just if you are allowed to see Joshua Christ on the face of this earth, what a privilege that would be just to see that. And to see some that would live into the millennium. Strength was given to the disciples in Christ's day because of what they saw. They saw him die. They saw him spill his blood to the ground. Some of them did. And they also saw where he came back to life as a spirit being. So let's notice what he said here. The church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. To God the judge of all. To the spirits. Speaking about just men and women that will be made perfect. And it's speaking about when they will be changed into spirit beings. And those in the first resurrection will know. And they will reign as kings and priests with Joshua Christ. And they will set up God's government upon this earth. And they will now begin their rule upon this earth. And they will take over all the governments of this earth. A just government finally will be here for man. And now they will have a road map, just like you. They will be given the same process to go through. To finally inherit eternal life with peace forever. So when we look at what is happening just in America in our government, it's a sickening and sobering thing to watch. What's taking place? To watch what man is doing with the blessings that was given to this nation. And it's also to other nations around this earth. We watch the governments at work. But this is for you and me to see that man cannot govern himself. We know what it will bring at the end. Verse 25 says, "See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven." And we know many that have done that very thing. Even those that were given God's Holy Spirit. And they turned away from all that God had offered them. And it's an example for you and me not to do the same. Not to choose that path, to stay on the correct road, to follow God where He leads. Verse 26 tells us whose voice then shook the earth. But now He has promised, it's a promise. Yet once more shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more includes the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made. So this is talking about the kingdom of God that will be now established upon this earth, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. God's kingdom will not be shaken. Verse 28 tells us, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which," let's notice, "we may serve God acceptably. With reverence and godly fear." The Exodus, the Passover of the past. Unleavened bread, the wave offerings of Joshua Christ, and the wave offering of the two loaves that was done. All of this that took place in time, those rituals of the past that were done, all of that paints a picture for you and me. All those rituals that took place. And it's for those of us at the end of an age to teach, to give us understanding about God's plan and the roadmap. It paints us a roadmap all the way through this book. And it's for you and me so that we can understand God's plan You have more knowledge than any that have lived upon this earth about God and His plan. And God uses physical things to explain the spiritual. Let's turn over to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. And let's look at some more that explains about God's plan. Acts chapter 1. Our Passover, Joshua Christ, our Savior, died and was resurrected. He came back to life as a spirit being and He appeared to the disciples. Can you imagine the strength that that gave to them? They were given strength because most of them died a horrible death. John was the only one that lived to be an old age. And let's notice, He taught them for 40 days after He was resurrected from the dead. And He came back as a spirit being. He appeared and disappeared before their eyes during that 40 days before He was taken up in the clouds. So after Christ returns and the 144,000 are resurrected as spirit beings, it will be just as it was in the day of the disciples when Christ appeared before them and they knew that He had died upon that pole. It will be the same as some will know those that have become spirit beings. So can you imagine the strength that will be given to them? Those that live until the millennium. So let's start in Acts chapter 1 in verse 1 and see what this account is about. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all, let's notice, that Joshua Christ began to do and teach, until the day in which He was taken up, after He through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles to whom He had chosen. So, this tells us what He was doing. He was teaching. He was teaching them about the future and what would take place. To whom He also presented Himself alive after His suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days. And this is what He was speaking to them about, their future jobs. Speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, their future job. The kingdom that will be here when Joshua Christ returns to this earth to set up that kingdom, that's what He taught them about, that kingdom that was coming. And He taught them about spirit beings that they would become. And He appeared and disappeared before them many times during that 40 days. And it was a teaching process for them. And they were learning about a job that they would have to do in the future as a being that would now have eternal life forever, spirit life. Verse 9. Now when He had spoken these things while they watched, He was taken up and a cloud received Him out of their sight. So, He was teaching them about a way that He would return to this earth, where they would join Him when He returned. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, two men stood by them in white apparel. And we understand it's two angels. And let's notice what they were told. Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into the heavens? This same Joshua who was taken up from you into heaven, let's notice, will so come in like manner as you saw Him go into heaven. Let's go over to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. We're very, very familiar, and we use this every year. Leviticus 23 is where God paints us a picture of His plan. And this is where you would find all of the holy days written about in God's book. We know that Joshua Christ fulfilled the symbolism contained in that Passover observance. We know that He fulfilled the symbolism of the wave sheaf that was presented during unleavened bread. And in Leviticus 23 and verse 1, we find about how we are to live our lives before our God. And this is where God gave you and me appointed times to come before Him and to learn more about His plan. And we are entering that time. And He will give us the roadmap through those holy days. He shows us the way. And Leviticus 23 tells us all about God's holy days. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak unto the children of Israel and say to them, concerning the roadmap, all the times you are to appear before the Eternal, appointed times, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my appointed times, my holy days. 6 days will work be done, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. And you shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Eternal in all your dwellings." So here God tells us about the Sabbath and where that roadmap is to lead us every Sabbath day. It is to lead us before Him on that day, the Sabbath day. And this roadmap is there of how to keep it. And God says that it is holy time. Verse 4 tells us, "These are the appointed times of the Eternal, which you will proclaim in their seasons." And this is why we speak on these things in their season, because God tells us to do that very thing. And in the 14th day of the first month, it even is the Lord's Passover. Tells us exactly when to keep it. The 14th. Very specific of when we are to keep the Passover. And on the 15th of the day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. 7 days you will eat unleavened bread. So we eat unleavened bread, which pictures putting sin out of our life during that period of time for those 7 days. And we do it every year because we are flesh. And this roadmap brings us back every year to this time. And we are to reflect upon it every year. We are to be reminded over and over about sin. So God gives you and me instructions through His holy days. We understand that Joshua Christ was pictured in the wave offering that was done. We understand that it was pictured as being unleavened. We understand what this is speaking about. We understand that He was without sin. But those two loaves that were also offered, that were waved, speaks about with leaven, which we picture as sin. And we use leavening as an example. And we put leavening out of our homes, that unleavened bread, during that unleavened bread season. And it paints us a picture of how we are to live our lives. So let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 4. And let's look at a little more of the roadmap that God had written for you and me. More that was written about His plan. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 4. All the examples of the past and how they had to use those physical sacrifices were examples for you and me. And we understand that God uses these physical examples to teach. It's written for those that God has called at the end of an age to give understanding about His plan. Verse 4. "It is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin." So it's explaining a little more of God's plan. All those things that they did in ancient Israel, all those bulls that were killed, all the goats, the sheep, none of that blood could take away our sins. But it does paint you and me a picture. Took a lot of blood, brethren. A lot of blood to cover sins. Verse 11. "And every priest standing, ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices that can never take away sins." Passover was fulfilled by Joshua Christ. That's what can take away our sins. and Passover was fulfilled by him after he had offered one sacrifice for sin. And he sat down at the right hand of God. He gave his life. He went through that suffering and he spilled his blood to the ground in a horrible, horrible death. A painful death. This tells us where he is now, that he is at the right hand of his Father, waiting to return to this earth for the next phase of God's plan. Part of the roadmap. Part of the picture that God has painted for you and me of how his plan will take place. Verse 13 tells us what he is doing. From that time waiting, that's what he's doing, till his enemies are made his footstool, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being set aside, those who are being sanctified for holy purpose and use. Those in God's church have been called to live a certain way of life, to follow that map that God has laid out for them. God laid out a plan for his church, a map, and we are to follow that map. I hope you understand what you have been offered and what it is worth. I hope you're using those precious metals that we spoke about earlier. Verse 20 tells us we are to live a new and living way. By a new and living way. Not the way that you and me used to live our lives, not the way the world lives theirs. We're to come out of this world. And we are to follow a new way of life. The way of life that we will live, what he's consecrated for you and me. Through that veil. Through his flesh. And now we understand he is the high priest over the house of God. And he is our Passover. And he says, let us draw near with a true heart. Not deceitful. Not lying to God. A true mind. A true inner being. In full assurance of faith. Having our inner being, our minds, sprinkled from an evil conscience. And our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. And down in verse 32, God tells us to reflect on something. He tells us to recall the former days after you were illuminated, after your mind was opened, and you were given some understanding of God's plan. He said you did endure great struggles, and a choice had to be made at that time. We all remember those days where we made those choices. And with that same suffering, when we think back, we started understanding the truths of God. And all of us did some suffering through all of that as we went through that process. And in that process, we had to make choices. We had to make a choice to follow that map that God has set before us, to stay on that road. We understood that we had to be humbled. And we understand that all that will follow in our footsteps will have to do the same. And God says you and me are like pilgrims upon this earth. All those that he has called are like pilgrims. Because a new way of life will be taught in a short while. God understands man and he understands our human nature. He made man. And God knows man inside and out. He made us this way. He created us. That's why he has a plan. He knows this nature that is in man. He knows about those lusts. He put them in man. Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That have conquered so many that have come through those doors, those lusts. God tells you and me to think back, reflect back on those days, those former days, when you were illuminated, when he gave you understanding, when he called you. To reflect back on how you were called and to reflect back through whom you were called. There were persecutions for all of us. All of us endured some of that. Because it was because of what God did to your mind, what He revealed to your mind. God says that you and me have need of endurance. And we understand very well what that endurance means. So that you, after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promises of God. The promise of eternal life. The promise of peace forever for man. No more drama, only peace. And we cannot comprehend that thing. But God says that He will accomplish it. God says that's where the road will lead you and me if we stay on that road. And it will be eternal life without any more pain. Verse 37. Yet a little while, and He who is coming will come and will not tarry. And this is what we're waiting for, the return of Joshua Christ to this earth, to come and set up that just government upon this earth. And God had it written that the just will live by faith. And let's notice the rest. But if anyone draws back, if anyone makes that choice to draw back, my soul has no pleasure in them. And back up in Hebrews 2 in verse 1, God tells us, and let's notice what was said. Therefore, we must give the earnest heed to the things we have heard, and through we have heard them, lest we drift away. That's what will happen. If you lose that focus, we have to stay focused on the road. We have to keep the road map before us. We have to choose the right path. And I didn't write this scripture down. Maybe I did. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. It's worth speaking about this these things. Sorry about that if I didn't tell you. And this, for if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how will we escape if we neglect? Pay attention to what's being said. If we neglect so great a salvation, neglect what God has offered us, and if we drift away, we lose our focus, it'd be a horrible, horrible thing. But we have seen so many do that very thing. In verse 6, and this is a quote from David, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you take care of him? And David asked this of God a long time ago. And he asked God, why was he concerned with man? We understand what God is doing with mankind. We understand what He has offered. We understand about the plan that He had for the beginning for mankind. And God had it written so that we could understand this question that David asked Him about. What is man? And God said through David, His servant, you have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands, and you've put all things in subjection under his feet. He left nothing that is not put under man. But now we do not yet see all things put under man. We cannot comprehend it at this time. But we are moving forward through God's plan. But we understand when we look in that, into that universe at what we can see through that telescope. It always boggles my mind what is there. Just the physical things that we can see. It's an awesome thing to look out among all those planets and stars. And I know I've mentioned this a lot, but it's an awesome thing to see. And understand that God has a plan for all those things that are there. Verse 9 tells us, and this is what we see now. We see Joshua, the Christ. That's what we see at this time. We see Joshua Christ for who he really is, not a false Christ that the world sees. We know his real name. We know the truth that his name was not Jesus. We know that he is our Passover. We know why he died. We know he is the king that is about to return to this earth. We know that he will set up God's government upon this earth. That is the Joshua Christ that you and me see, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death. And he is crowned with glory and honor, that he might taste death for everyone. That's what he did for you and me now, but also for those that wish to be a part of what God will offer them, that want to become in the God family. For it was fitting for him for whom are all things and by whom are all things. Just notice what's being said. In bringing many sons to glory. That is the Joshua Christ that you and me see. To make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. We are called to suffer. That's the roadmap that you have. And we are reading about that roadmap today. And we are to follow that roadmap that is set before us. We understand if we stay on that road, if we stay on that path, we will suffer. And it will not be easy. And it was not meant to be easy. Verse 11. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified, set aside, set apart, are all of one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren, to us, in the midst of the assembly of us, brethren. I will sing praise to you, and again, I will put my trust in him, and again. Let's notice what he said. Here I am in the children whom God has given me. Those that made the right choices, that's who will be there. That is the Joshua Christ that we see. And that is the Joshua Christ that you and me are waiting for. And when it is all said and done, when all that will be there will be in God's family, all that will make the right choices. It's an awesome plan that God has for man, for all that will want what God will offer them. Let's turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. The Exodus is an example for you and me, upon whom the end of the ages have come. And we are to take heart the lessons that we can glean from God's words. And these words were recorded for you and me. All of God's people down through time were not blessed with what you have. They did not have this book. We should learn and apply what we learn in our spiritual lives so that we may rid our lives of sin and be ready for the kingdom of God that is coming to this earth. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, God had it written. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's why you're here. That's why we have the Sabbaths. That's why we have the holy days. To be filled about the knowledge of God's will. To be given the roadmap. To be given the plan. To be given the things that we are to build upon in this life while we are upon this earth. To use those precious metals that God tells us about in this book to build upon. The plan that God has given to you and me. And we are to be filled with the knowledge of God's plan, God's will. And it does give a spiritual understanding of what is taking place and about how God will deliver mankind. Those holy days paints us a picture through time. Verse 10 tells us to rid our lives of sin. Let's notice. That we may walk worthy of the eternal. fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So that's why you're here, to learn, to increase in the knowledge of God's plan, to be strengthened in our minds so that we can follow that roadmap, so that we won't take the wrong turns, to stay on the road, the correct road. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power. For all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. An awesome gift that He has given you, brother. Verse 13, He has delivered us from the power of darkness. It's what He done when He opened your mind. He brought you out of that darkness. And He has conveyed us into the kingdom of His dear Son. And here is that word, if. If we don't turn away, if we stay on the road, that's the example that is used. That light and darkness. That light and darkness is a good way to explain to you and me. Light is where you can see. Darkness is where you cannot see. So this gives us understanding of what God is saying in this book. Joshua Christ became the Passover. He paid the ultimate price for you and me so that we could be delivered from that power of darkness and so that we could be delivered into that light that this is talking about. We know that He fulfilled that Passover of ancient Israel. He fulfilled it, and you and me are forgiven of our sins by that sacrifice that He made. Verse 21, we just as ancient Israel have been rescued. We have been rescued from Satan's world. They were rescued from Pharaoh's world. But you and me have been rescued from Satan's world. From the captivity onto the path, the road, to the promised kingdom of God. That's where we're headed. That's the road we're on. And you who were once alienated, let's notice, enemies in your mind. It's a good explanation of what we were, because we were enemies in our mind. And we do understand that this is really where the battle is. It's the battle for the mind that is taking place. And we live our lives by striving to keep sin out of our lives, by not being the enemy of God through our minds. I always remember what Paul wrote, "A wretched man that I am, but with the mind I serve God." And that's just the way it is. And it was a good way of saying it. And you who once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. That's what it was, wicked works. And all of us were part of this until God called us. Yet now, He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death. Let's notice what He said. To present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. If. There's that word if. You continue in the faith. So this is the battle. This is the battle that so many have lost. And they let that if take them out of God's church. If you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast. It's what you have to do to stay on the road. Let's go over to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And let's notice what was being said by Peter. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you might be partakers, thus notice, of the divine nature. And we just had the past sermon about becoming righteous. So this is what this is about. On the roadmap to becoming righteous. To finally achieve it. To finally become at one with the great God of this universe. That's the road. And it says escaping. Let's notice what we escape if we stay on the road. Those lusts that we talked about earlier, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what you will escape, those traps of man. And that's what it means by escaping the corruption that is in the world through lust. It's what it's speaking about. And those lusts will reach out and grab you so fast. But also for this reason, giving all diligence into your faith, virtue, to virtue, knowledge. And that's why you're here, to add to your knowledge of the great God of this universe and His plan. Verse 10. Therefore, brethren, let's notice, be even more diligent. So God is telling us to be diligent to make our calling and election sure, so that we can stay on that road. Be diligent. And if you do these things, you will never stumble. We have seen so many stumble. We have seen so many forget to be diligent to make their calling and election sure. So we understand what these words are speaking about. But if you do, if you stay on the road, let's notice what will take place, where that road will end for you. It says an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Joshua Christ. It's where the road will end for you. And that's what's being offered to those that are being called now. An entrance. An entrance. And what a blessing it would be to receive that promise. And there will be 144,000 spirit beings that receive that promise upon this earth when Joshua Christ returns. So you and me need to heed all these lessons that are written about in this book to see what we can glean from these examples that we read about in God's book. We know how God used His power to bring those children of Israel out of bondage. We understand that God used His power to bring you and me out of Satan's bondage. That's what it took. He opened your mind. And it is a miracle that you are sitting here today. And you are pilgrims on the road to the promised land. And it's only by the grace of God that you are here. And it's because of the choices that you have made while you are here. Some of us have been on this road a long, long time. And some of us have rode in the ditches a long, long time. And it's pretty bumpy down in those ditches. We understand how God is leading us. We understand that we are in that spiritual war. But if we follow where God is leading us, we follow that road. We understand that if we make the wrong choices, just like those in Israel lost their physical lives when God was bringing them out during the Exodus and afterward, because of their turning away from the great God of this universe, those lessons of the past are valuable lessons. Teaches a lot about our human nature. And in spite of all those miracles that they saw, they forgot their God over and over and over. It's the story of man. But in the book of Matthew, Christ wrote about when the Pharisees and Sadducees came and they were questioning Him. And they were asking Him about a sign. Would He just show them a sign? And He said to them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. So Christ is using that analogy. And in the morning it will be foul weather, for the sky is red and threatening. Christ called it like it was, and He said, hypocrites. That's what He called them. Because He knew their minds. He knew who they were. And He said, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. But for you and me, when we look around, we know God's plan. We know there is a crescendo coming at the end of this age. We can see where this world is heading. We can see it all coming to place. It's all there. So if we cannot look on the horizon and discern the times, we are in great, great trouble. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And we'll begin in verse 1. God tells us that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And there is a lot of witnesses in this book that we read about. So God tells you and me to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And it does. It happens so easily sometimes. And it usually happens when we let down. But when we find ourselves in sin, we better repent quickly. And it says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So it's another analogy that God is using, a race. And we're just about to the finish line. We can see it. And we can see that deliverance is within our grasp. We can see it. And it says, looking to Joshua, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the suffering that he did, despising the shame, but now he's sitting at the right hand of his Father, on the throne of his Father. That's where he's at. We know the suffering that he did because we can read about it in God's book back in Isaiah. And I don't think we could ever comprehend the suffering that he went through. We know that he was beaten until he was unrecognizable for who he was. And it says for you and me to consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. So we are to reflect on these things about the Son of God and what he went through, what he endured. And this is the season that we reflect upon this. The Protestant and Catholic world just paints a sick, sick picture of a drop of blood where they maybe stuck a thorn in his forehead. And it was just a few drops of blood that was poured out. But we know about what took place when that soldier stuck that spear in his side and all his blood spilled to the ground. We know the truth. We know what he really went through. God says that we are to consider him at this time of year. We are approaching that time. And we are to reflect upon those things that he went through. And if we don't, let's notice what else was written. You can become wearied. You can become discouraged in your lives. If you don't stay focused on God's plan. I know we think we have life tough in this age. But we need to consider those that have gone before you and me. We didn't have to walk through that desert. We didn't have to stand at that Red Sea and see Pharaoh's army coming over those hills with that dust of cloud. We didn't have to make those bricks without straw. They were slaves. We've not yet resisted the bloodshed. So actually God's reminding how good we have it. We don't have to ride on donkeys. We ride in air-conditioned vehicles. You're sitting in a nice, comfortable room with a padded chair. But this is telling you and me to reflect back on what happened in the past. We know ancient Israel forgot over and over. And that shows you and me our nature to forget. The nature of man. Sometimes we forget that our adversary is like a roaring lion. And it's you that he's after. That's who he's after. Only God can change that road that you and me are on. And once we were baptized, we were to put on the new man that we are told about in God's book, which will be renewed in knowledge. That's what will take place. And we are renewed in knowledge, Sabbath by Sabbath, holy day by holy day, in the knowledge of God's way to live our lives, so that we can stay on that road to the kingdom of God. So we can follow that road map. We know the way. We are here today looking at the things of the past so that we can learn more about our God and His Son that made it possible for you and me to pay for our sins. We know that Passover was instituted and it paints a picture for you and me. We know that a son would be born of God. And that son would come to fulfill these scriptures about the Passover. So that you and me could be delivered out of spiritual Egypt. Into a wonderful time. And become at one with the great God of this universe. When it's all said and done. We know God's plan and we look forward to the time that God will make a difference for all of mankind. It's an awesome thing when we think about the process of the wave loaves and the wave sheaf offering that pictured God's Christ and those two loaves that were waved that pictured the deliverance for the 144,000 to make a difference. To make a difference going into a new age upon this earth. A new government. A new king. So, brethren, I hope you understand where your God is working. I hope you understand where and how God is leading you to prepare for that kingdom that is coming to this earth. And it's just as Moses told Pharaoh. We have to wait on God to show us. We know that they took those sacrifices with them when they went out from Egypt with everything that God told them to go with. All the silver and the gold, all the clothes, all those animals to do those sacrifices with. That's what they left with. An abundance of things. And they dealt with it as God led them. God taught them as they went. That's how they were taught. Not all at once. He gave it to them little by little. And it started with the Passover. That's where it started. So, brethren, it's an awesome thing that you have been offered. The roadmap to the kingdom of God. So take care how you treat that blood that was sacrificed for you. And make the right choices to be in the kingdom of God.